Well then, Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. It is Scary Movie October.
We've watched the best month ever.
We watched a movie that's going to be maybe polarizing emotionally or politically on the show. Maybe cast dogs in a terrible light, but I don't care. Darling.
I think it'll be interesting to talk about. We watched Strange Darling. It was my pick. This is a movie that has fascinated me since I saw the trailer. I know nothing about, like, when I went into this, like, the trailer did a great job of being very, very vague, and I thought the trailer was great, but I don't know anything about this filmmaker. Like, I looked at his IMDb, and I still was like, I've never seen anything this guy has done. This movie, the cinematographer was Giovanni Ribisi, which is
Really?
Yeah. Weird as shit.
It was shot on 35. I know they made a big point of telling you that.
Dude, I swear to God. Like, I mean, you know how I like to make my snarky Letterboxd reviews? Like, every person was like, made a joke about the 35 millimeter thing. It's like, I don't know. To me, that didn't even bother me. I was like, it's stupid, but like, who cares? Like, I don't know.
It looked good.
It looked great. I'd love to see it in the theater, actually. Like, I thought it looked awesome. And that Kyle Gullner, again, like, that guy, I talked about him a few weeks ago in that movie The Passenger that I really like, that I feel like y'all should check out. That guy is a great actor. Like, that guy has come a long way since that fucking Nightmare on Elm Street. Well, he's also in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. He was the boyfriend or whatever. That guy, I mean, that shit was awful. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's good.
It clearly wasn't his fault.
He's good in this. I thought he was real good in this. But anyway, let's get into everything else. What did y'all watch this week? Monsieur Alec.
Nothing. Gogs.
Damn.
Holy shit.
Rare week for Alec.
I can make up for that. I have
just
eight
Alec
things.
Just watched me cry as my Commanders lost, but we gave you guys hell.
Yeah, moral all right. victories all around. Moral victories for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Raven Stadium is a little much, and it's a very intense experience. And
I can imagine, especially as
I've never been an opposing fan there, so I can't.
There was a lot of Washington fans there. I was really surprised, but I feel
almost a home game for them too, right?
Ravens fans were getting like 8 times value on the resale market, so a lot of people sold their tickets just to make some money.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to do that, to be perfectly honest. But going to a football game just in general is a little just intense. I love going to baseball games, but football games are almost like a little too much. And also, we were like on the fifth level, so like climbing up those steps, and like my back is, I didn't go to work today because I like couldn't get out of bed physically. Because I just hurt. Like, I still, like, my back hurts so fucking bad. It's not even funny. But anyway, I'm sorry. Continue. Go Ravens. Good job, guys.
So I watched, we'll see you again in the Super Bowl.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I was like, you know what? Crazier things have happened.
I watched 8 things, but I'm not going to talk about all of them.
Oh, my God.
I haven't been on the show for a week. I was on the show last week. Yeah, that's right? True. And so, like, Liz was out of town the other week. So, like, after I put the kids to bed, it was just me just sitting here playing fucking Space Marine with something on the other screen. Mm-hmm. So most of it was
because guys can't just watch a movie or play video games.
I can't. No. I am both so
you have time. Like you have like adult ADD or something. Like,
oh, I have some. Trust me, I need like input. I'm like fucking. I'm like Johnny Five. Like, I need input, like, all the time.
See, like, I can't. I'm, like, exact opposite because, like, if I can't, like, unless I'm, like, I don't know. I feel like video games and movies are, like, two things where I want to have that. I want my complete attention to go to those things.
So let me caveat this a wee bit.
Sure.
I'm usually, when I say watching, when I'm playing video games, I have something on that I've seen already. And I'm usually playing something that is mindless. Like, it's a grind.
Sure. Okay.
That's right. So, fair, like, okay. If I'm watching a movie, I'm watching a movie. If I
it's not like you're playing like Elden Ring or something.
No, it's like, well, it is if I'm grinding souls, but if I'm like trying to beat content, no, right? Like, and this is a holdover from my World of Warcraft days where I was just like running dungeons mindlessly. That's fair. So like, you know, so anywho. So most of these things were just on this screen while something else was happening here. Sure. I'll just run down the list and I won't get into it too much. I watched 3 Nightmare on Elm Street films, 4, 7, and 8.
God.
Wow. 4 is the best one of those 3.
4 is the Dream Child?
No, that's first. Oh, wait. Did I say Nightmare on Elm Street? I meant Friday the 13th. Four Friday the 13th. 4 is the final chapter. That's the Corey Feldman one.
Yeah, that's the one that's kind of like a soft remake of the second one, I think, if I'm remembering. So.
Yeah, it's very much like the second one. 7 is the one where it's psychic powers brought him back, and psychic powers destroyed him at the end. It is dumber than dog shit. And then 8 is Jason Takes Manhattan, where the conceit...
Which should be way more fun than it actually turns out to be.
Like, that movie's so fucking stupid. Like,
yeah, it's so bad.
So bad. Like,
but it's such like you hear that title and you're like, oh man, Jason's gonna be like hacking up people in the city and like it's gonna be so cool. Yeah.
Remember the ad campaign? It was like,
oh my god, yeah,
bah, bah, da, da, bah, bah, right? You know, mm-hmm. and like the idea is that the seniors from Camp Crystal from the Crystal Lake region are taking a senior cruise to New York City. They are doing so on like a steam freighter. Like, right. It's like, it's a cargo ship, but somehow it has staterooms. It also has like a steam room and a complex labyrinth of spaces that should not exist based on the way the ship is shaped in real life. Also, the guy piloting it is an admiral. Also, the admiral's kid is graduating that year, and the admiral tries to relinquish control of the ship to his son so his son can prove he can do it. That movie's dumb. Dumb as hell.
Yeah, it's I remember being like ultra disappointed as a kid watching that movie because I was like, man, this shit was going to be fire, and it just sucked. And oddly enough, though, that movie has some of the best, like, fan-made posters. Like, you know, yeah. Gogs, I send you a lot of those, like, Mondo posters and a lot of those, like, artists. And there's a couple that just looks so great for that particular movie because they draw Jason with the, you know, the New York skyline. It looks fucking cool as hell.
Conceptually, it's a lot of fun. It's just execution. Yeah. They fucking pooched it. So anyway,
yeah, I agree.
I'll watch all those. I revisited Wolf Creek. That was a mistake.
Oh, it was bad. Just as bad as you remember it?
Not as bad, but still pretty bad.
That was that will always live in infamy as the nightmare.
Hey, mate, you guys want to go stay in my cave with me? Oh, no, I won't kill you, nuns. Oh, I'm going to shoot you from a mile away and blow your car up.
That movie.
Stupid ass movie.
And that movie commits.
So that was the movie where the fucking P.F. Chang's was too good for us because P.F. Chang's doesn't do shots. Those
are shots.
and it was the movie where TJ yelled at a pack of 12-year-old girls.
12-year-old girls.
Because they wouldn't shut the fuck up.
I mean, to be fair, I thought that was
Ring 2.
No, that was
Ring 2. It was Ring definitely 2, Wolf Creek.
Oh, okay. Ring 2 was when Eric Saxton farted so loud people left the theater.
My whole place crack up.
TJ and I went to see Thor 3?
Yeah, I think
so. And I ended up screaming at some couple that was sitting next to this poor young couple enjoying themselves. Like, yo, will you shut the fuck up?
Yeah, it was horrible. I remember. But to be fair, to go back to my yelling at those kids at Wolf Creek, I was totally in the right. Like, they just would not shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember if it worked or not.
I think they left, if I remember correctly.
Screaming.
Yeah, yeah.
TJ, well, do you remember when we went to see...
Sean's here, everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah, hey. You remember when we went to go see Rocky, which one? Creed 2. Mm-hmm. And that guy kept kicking the chair, and I turned around. I was like, yo, will you stop kicking the chair, please? Yeah, and then we got out. The guy was like 7'2". I was like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yes, I do remember that.
He probably couldn't help himself being 7'2".
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with this? Is the biggest
this
chair
the largest, I can afford. This was the largest theater that I could afford.
Should I be the subject of yelling?
you find it comical that I can't fit into my theater seat? Everybody pointed to the little Puerto Rican boy and slap at
him. That was also, I'm sure I told this story, but the guys sitting next to us were so stoned they thought Sylvester Stallone was a CG character.
That is true. I remember that.
Anyway, Wolf Creek still sucks, and it commits the cardinal sin of saying the name of the movie like 80 times. Like, they say Wolf Creek so much in that movie.
Well, I mean, it's a destination.
I guess, like, but I think they always said Thunderdome twice.
Okay.
Is Wolf Creek a real place?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the movie.
Oh. Wait. Continue, guys.
So anyway. This one I watched purely.
Wait,
just
is
for
Thunderdome
the...
a real place?
Oh, yeah.
In that's the movie. A real
place. Yes.
It's a destination. I watched this strictly for the pump. I was exercising, so I watched Doomsday because I love that movie so much.
I was talking about that the other day. I was talking about Neil Marshall and his weird lopsided career. But yeah.
I'm unapologetic about my love of Doomsday. Not good, but Bob Hoskins is trying his ass off in that film. I showed my wife The Fall Guy. That's like the fourth time I watched it. It's got its problems, but I just have such a soft spot in my heart for that movie. Like, it's just so joyful that I will forever defend it. I watched the 1984 Blob movie, and that movie kicks an unprecedented.
Oh, I like that movie a lot.
I think I watch it every Halloween now. Like,
yeah, that movie rules.
What's better, that or The Stuff?
The Blob.
It's The Stuff, right? Oh.
The Blob. The Stuff is fun. The Blob's better.
I like them both. Yeah.
I love The Stuff. Don't get me wrong. If you're the guy who made the movie The Stuff, please understand. Huge fan of that movie, but I like The Blob better. But there you go. They're both aliens that want to eat you. Just one of them got put in the fucking Tupperware.
Is that Blob? Is that the one where they pull somebody like through a sink drain?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
It's the one with Johnny Drama from Entourage.
Oh my
He's
God.
In it.
Kevin Dillon's brother?
Yeah, Matt Dillon's brother.
Dillon's brother? Yeah, Kevin. Okay.
It's also got Shawnee Smith from the Saw sequels. She's in it. Shawnee Smith?
I believe you're right. I think it is Shawnee Smith.
But yeah, people get fucking eaten in weird ways. And they kill a kid, which is wild because like, don't do that.
Yeah, it's only that and like Assault on Precinct 13. There's kid death in that, but yeah, it's few and far between.
So that's all like the repeat stuff. Then I watched two things that are new to me, so I'll get into those a little bit more. The first one is a movie where they kill a kid in it. It's called Salem's Lot. I watched the 2024 Salem's Lot production.
I heard that shit was terrible.
It's clunky. It's like not. So this is what I was telling you about before we started recording, TJ. It's clunky, it's clumsy. Like I read a lot of Stephen King stuff. Alec, you're a big Stephen King fan. Did you read Salem's Lot?
Did not.
Okay. It's basically the plot is basically 30 Days of Night, but it happens in Maine. Like vampire comes to town, eats town. But it happens like lickety split. Like it happens like over the course of 2 days. Like it's not like a gradual progression. Like the main character comes back to town for reasons that are never fully explored. There's a sort of magical black kid, which sort of makes sense for a Stephen King movie.
Of course there is. Yeah.
But he's only magical in the sense that he can do like escape artist tricks like Harry Houdini. He's not like legitimately magical.
Like that movie, Light.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That movie.
Ugh.
We like that movie.
Wait, what?
The one with the kid had magnets in his body? Oh, we did kind of like that, didn't we?
The WWE called Light? Movie. Light.
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. About that movie.
Yeah, he
I don't know why I was thinking of a different movie. Yes,
he inserted magnets into himself.
Yeah, he turned himself into a Magneto.
Yeah, that we did like that, that's right.
I feel like we watched that a million years ago.
That was a magnetic black guy, not a magic black guy, though.
That was a WWE movie.
It was a WWE movie. It was a WWE Easter, I think we watched it. But this is what I was telling TJ before I else got on. There's a song by Gordon Lightfoot called Sundown that is prominent throughout this whole movie, and it's unlocked in me a love now for Gordon Lightfoot music. So there's a fucking silver lining to this cloud, which was Salem's Lot. Like, I didn't give a shit about any of the characters. There's the gore was kind of good. I feel bad for Alfre Woodard because she's in it. But I don't recommend. I've never read the book, so I don't know if the book's any better. But like, I think a lot of the time Stephen King's stuff doesn't translate well to screen, to be honest.
The book probably has a horrible ending. Most Stephen King stuff ends terribly because he can't write an ending to save his life.
This ending wasn't great. This ending, I mean, spoiler alert for Salem's Lot, a book that came out 40 years ago and they just made into a movie. Like, the whole town gets turned into vampires, and then the whole town's, like, where they hang out, like, since they don't have caskets, they all hang out in the trunks of their cars at the drive-in movie theater, and that becomes, like, the third act set piece where everyone arises out of their trunks. And, like, the only people that live at the end of the day
is just, from your trunks.
Arise from your trunks. Power up. So now, at the end of the day, like, the magical black kid and, like, the author main character who came back to town after his parents who had been murdered used to live there. They just travel off into the sunset together, I guess, because now he's his legal guardian because everyone else is dead. I don't know. But that's Salem's Lot. But Gordon Lightfoot, Sundown, banger.
Nice.
And then I watched a movie. I'd never seen Terrifier 1, but I watched Terrifier 2.
What'd you think of that? Because
I
hate those movies.
It's got a weird... People have, like, a weird affection for this movie.
Let me tell you about these movies. They just like the stupid scary clown, and then they...
It's not scary. It's goofy.
You know how we talked about how, like, there's certain kinds of, like, horror movie fans... That mm-hmm. just like they just like horror aesthetics, and as long as they check those boxes, they just like it. That's like that is the Terrifier fan. Like, it's a violent movie with a creepy clown, and then it's like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, dude. Those movies suck. Like, you can watch the second one because it's just as bad as the first, but twice as long.
I did watch the second one. I didn't watch the first one. Is my point? I watched the second one.
Oh, you watched the second one? Yeah.
The second one, I don't get it because it's not scary.
Yeah.
And it's not even like the gore is so goofy. Like, it's so schlocky.
Is it neither funny as hell nor scary as hell?
correct. It is neither.
Not past the Tim Stamball mustard. No.
No, like, it was to the point where I was watching. I was like, is this a joke? Like, are they trying to make something silly? Like, cause the gore is like over the top, but it's so silly. I'm like, is this what it's going? I assumed it had to be intentional at that point. I was like, maybe I just don't get it. Like,
you get it. It's just not good. People overhype that shit. Like, that is the most like overhyped franchise I've ever seen. Like,
I did some research after the fact, and people are like raving about how much fun it is and how like Art the Clown is like the new, I don't know, Jason Voorhees or what. Like, it's like this is the new face of horror. I'm like, the movie's not scary though.
No, it's terrible. It's frankly, it's bad.
And like, the gore effects
are done well, but like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care.
I don't care about the characters, but if you're going to give me gore, I want to be repulsed by it. So either says that Goggs is desensitized to the point where I could be like a frontline journalist in a war zone, or that this gore was not very well done.
It's but also the movie lasts. That movie goes on for fucking ever. It's like a Marvel movie.
Yeah, and then like
movie's like 2 hours and 15 minutes long. It's like no horror movie should be that fucking long, especially one that has no plot. Like
the main character might be a Valkyrie with a sword. Her crazy father gifted her for the specific purposes of killing demon clowns. What are we doing?
Well, there's a third one that's out right now. It's out in theaters.
Well, I still haven't seen the first one, so maybe
you can skip it. Come with a barf bag.
Yeah.
People allegedly walked out of the second one because the second one's a Christmas movie too. Like, and I was like, it's not that gross. It's like it looks like it all looks like corn syrup. It's like, all right,
it's fake. It's all fake, people.
Right. Like, make it look real. Help
you
me.
You want Atrocity? Turn on the fucking news.
Right. Bingo. So, that's everything. Those are all eight things that Gogs watched. TJ.
Oh, shit. They should make a horror movie where it's just the IDF is the villain. Oh,
God. Yeah. Too real. Too fucking real.
Wait, wasn't that called, shoot, what was that called? We already had that. Munich. Continue.
I mean, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. I'm TJ. I watched a couple of little things, mostly TV, so they'll be brief. But I did watch one movie. I revisited a movie called Pinocchio 964. It's an old 90s. It's in that the Japanese cyberpunk experimental genre, just kind of like that Burst City movie that I talked about a few weeks ago. It's a movie that I actually seen. I watched it. I own it, actually. I own a DVD of it. But I was like, I remember not liking it. And I'm like, let me revisit it. I still don't really like it.
You were right.
Well, I mean, I feel like the first half of the movie is kind of cool. And there's a lot of, like, I do enjoy the look of the movie. It's got this, like, very, like, 90s lo-fi, like, VHS quality to the video. And there's a lot of great, like, images. Like, there's a lot of cool, like, I like how, like, they distill a lot of really cool images of Japan, and, like, that stuff is great. But then the movie, like, the problem with the movie is the first, like, half an hour or so is more kind of just, like, vibes-based, and then it tries to be a real movie, and the plot is just awful, and it just doesn't make any sense, and, like, it's kind of boring because every scene is just drug out for like 15 minutes. And these scenes are just comprised of people either vomiting or screaming or vomiting and screaming or running and screaming. And that's like the entire movie. Like,
what's the plot? Like, is Pinocchio just a word they picked, or is it about
Pinocchio? The main character Pinocchio is a sex robot that, basically gets rejected by its owner and memory wiped, and then the robot befriends another woman, a homeless woman who also is memory wiped, and then, like, they're like doing great, and they're like, she seems like relatively normal, but then they have sex, and then she, like, something awakens in her. And then the first robot goes through this weird transformation, and she goes through this weird transformation and goes insane. Hey, Van.
Buddy.
You playing the mining game?
Yep.
Does she...
Mining Uncle TJ.
Does she
mining,
make Pinocchio...
Mining his butt.
Does she make Pinocchio tell a bunch of lies to use his nose like a dick?
No, and you know what? The thing is, the Pinocchio thing isn't It's like I read a review that said it was like a unique re-envisioning of like the Pinocchio thing, but it really, like, I mean, I guess, like, he's a creation, right? But like,
Sentient? He's sentient.
Yeah, he's sentient. But it's not very good. It's, again, like, it's a good movie. Sean and I have talked about these kinds of movies. This is a cool movie to put on and like a loud room where nobody's actually watching the movie, because there's like some really cool imagery in this movie, but like, don't pay attention to any of it. Like, it's just something to like kind of look at and go, oh Jesus, what the fuck is going on over there? You know what I mean? Like, like, especially at the end, because spoiler alerts for the ending of this movie, once Pinocchio kills his creator, the girl that befriended him, who, again, in the second half of the movie just tortures him the whole time, she turns into this weird, like, I guess, like, robot, but, like, it just looks like a big, like, moon crater for a head, and then they fight. And then...
Is she married to, what was the old McDonald's moon man?
Mac Tonight.
No, I wish. And then, you know, what's funny is I remember, the one thing I do remember from me seeing this all those years ago is I remember... that I said that it felt like a knockoff of Tetsuo the Iron Man, which is one of my favorite movies. And it even ends like Tetsuo the Iron Man. So the two robots fight, And then at the end, they merge, and they're going to take over the world. And that's literally, like, the fucking ending of Tattoo of the Iron Man. So it's, like, it's kind of cheesy. But I don't know. If you want to watch something fucking weird, you want to weird out somebody, put that on. I watched, off of Gogs' recommendation, I watched all of Tires on Netflix. I thought that was really charming and funny. And, like, it reminded me of, like, how workaholics used to make me feel. It's, like, very, very, like, low stakes, like high comedy. I thought it was very funny. Like I really enjoyed that. They already renewed it for season two. I'm very happy about that. I watched
fan of that show.
Staying on net, everything I watched is TV wise is on Netflix.
Wait, before you move on that, how mm-hmm. how fun was Stavros?
Oh, he's great. He was great. And I mean, I really like Shane Gillis. Like after watching this, it's just like he should be a more like he could be in like movies and stuff. Like he's good. Like.
I really like Philly on Friday. I find the circle that he moves in repellent. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't like Andrew Schultz very much, and he's in Tires too. But but he's funny. Like, he's very funny, and he's very funny in this show. Like, I don't know who the guy that plays the manager is, but he's really funny, and he's got great. Like. That dude's got like a face for comedy. Like he just look like he can't be more than like 30 years old. He looks like he's 65 and he just has like the weirdest face. Like he has like perfect comedy expression face. Like, I don't know. I really enjoyed the show. I highly recommend everybody check it out. It's only like 6 episodes. Each episode is like 20 minutes long. Like you'll be done in no time.
You can crush it. You can get right through it.
Keeping on my TV watching, I watched both episodes of a new anime called Dandadan, which is amazing. It's like the new hot series. It's funny. It's full of action. The animation is absolutely incredible. The premise is hilarious. So basically, like this nerd that's really into like Alex Jones conspiracies and like paranormal activities. Meets up with this hot girl who is real into, what do you call it? Like
real hot girl shit?
No. She's like into like, spirits and ghosts and stuff. But neither one of them believe the other one about anything. Like the one that's into like UFOs and shit is like, oh, ghosts are bullshit. And then the one that's into ghosts is like, oh, aliens are bullshit. So they challenge each other. One to go to this place that they know is haunted and the other one to go to this place where there is reported UFO activity. And it turns out both of them are completely right. And they both like both things happen. And then the show is insane. So like basically the boy, the nerdy kid, he runs into this ghost that's called Turbo Granny who possesses him and steals his dick.
Oh,
which is great. And then, the girl runs into these aliens who, they're a race of only males. So they're running out of ways to like keep their species alive. It's fucking wild. The show is funny. The animation's great. I highly recommend it. There's only 2 episodes on Netflix right now, but it's like really, really good. Has one of the best fucking intros you're ever going to see. The intro animation and the song is fucking fire. I can't recommend Dandadan enough. Like it's not better than Chainsaw Man, but it's very, very good. And it'll be like the next big thing. It's great. I love it. I also watched on Netflix they have the Ranma One-Half remake. Ranma One-Half is one of my favorite shows from the 90s. And I was very apprehensive about them remaking it. But MAPPA is remaking it. The same people that made Chainsaw Man and Dorohedoro. Like, they're great. It's really good. I think it's better than the original series. Like, it stays more true to the comics. And, again, the animation is great. The story is fantastic always. But, like, it's fun. It's silly. Like, Ranma, if you're not familiar, like, the idea with Ranma is... Ranma is this and his father are these wandering like martial arts experts, and they train in this place in China that's called Accursed Spring. And they're not told this until it's too late, but if you fall into an Accursed Spring, you take the form of whatever died into that spring
however many thousands of years ago. So Ranma's dad gets kicked into a spring where a panda died. So when he gets hit with cold water, he turns into a panda. And Ranma got knocked into a spring where a girl died. So whenever he gets hit with cold water, he turns into a girl. And on their way to Japan, they are supposedly supposed to set up an arranged marriage between these two martial arts families. So then it's a whole thing because Ranma has to deal with his problem of turning to a girl. And the daughter of that he's supposed to be betrothed to doesn't want to have like an arranged marriage, and it's great. It's silly as hell. It's a lot of fun. The martial arts stuff is fun. The crazy hijinks that they get, like because you know Ranma constantly turns into a hot girl with huge tits, is very funny. I love
it's funny because like I only knew it from what became the Bargain Bin Super Nintendo game when I was young.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Divorced from context, I'm like, I have no idea what's going
was
on.
Was it a fighting game?
It was a fighting game. There were several fighting games. It was weird that one even got released over here. But yeah, I highly recommend, again, another, both of the animes that I just talked about, they're 20-minute episodes. Like, you know, you'll get through them pretty quick. I recommend both a lot, and I love Ranma. It's again, I was one of my first real animes I used to watch as a kid, and it's just as much fun. And like I said, I love, they do a lot of like kind of cool visual visual things with the animation. Like they do a lot of these things where in the middle of fights, like things will turn into like half tones, and like they do a lot of like really experimental kind of interesting stuff with the way that the characters look, and I'm a big fan, so highly recommend both of those. Watch some anime, it'll do you good. Both, by the way, are available dubbed and subbed on Netflix, so if you don't want to read, you can watch the dub, and all the voice actors are good too, so check it out. And that's all I watched. Sean?
I watched one thing.
One thing?
Oh, I kind of watched what you watched too, so I'll chime in a little bit.
Oh, okay. I watched Deadpool X Wolverine.
Yeah, I watched it with my mom Saturday also.
Well, I hope your mom liked it, because I didn't.
Yeah, let me tell you something real quick before you get into it. The movie is way too inside. Like, I was finding my mom, like, my mom likes Deadpool movies, right? Like, and she likes the comic book movies, but she's not like, you know what I mean? She doesn't know the fucking continuity of the fucking movies. You know what I mean? Like, she's not watching. So like, she watched Loki, so she understood like the time police people and everything. But like, so many of those jokes, my mom just didn't get it. Like, because she how is she supposed to know that there was a fucking Gambit movie that Channing Tatum was in, but it never came out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's
it's fun because they have an Age of Apocalypse mentioned, but they're like slavish in visual. It's kind of like the Zack Snyder thing, right? Like, I get the visuals of it, but I don't understand it. But the whole plot revolves around Wolverine having getting drunk, but he can't actually get drunk in the books. So are we doing the books or are we doing the movie? Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that was it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because I actually watching it this time, I didn't hate it as much. But then again, like, I don't know. I didn't really like, I was just like, yeah, this is fine. Like, but I was more watching it through her eyes because I was like, I was like, what did you think? And honestly, like, I don't know, watching it this time, the plot didn't seem as contrived, but maybe it's because I already knew what was coming. I still think the plot is way too complicated for what the movie
needs. It is, and the stakes are too high and for a Deadpool movie. And I guess I'm just, you know, I'm past the point where it's like, oh, they put the funny books in a movie. I like that. And the first two Deadpool movies, I actually kind of cared about him because I cared about his supporting cast.
Yes, and
they're
I agree.
In this movie, kind of, but not really. But, you know, in the first one, he's in love with this stripper, and the whole plot rolls around that. And then the second one, he's also in love with her, but it kind of revolves around this one kid being captured.
And yeah, the kid from Hunt for the Wilder People. That kid's great.
And Cable wants to save one kid. And I'm not saying you can't do, you know, a big movie, but it's like, you can't do a big movie and also lampoon a big movie. And I'm not like super interested in like, ooh, look at us, Kevin Feige, let us make a cursing movie. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, the Fox jokes got old really fast. And you want to talk about something that a casual fan like my mom didn't like respond to really at all? She's like, oh. She's like, I think she literally told me, she's like, oh, they're not on Fox anymore, right? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, huh.
And this is kind of like, yeah, the Endgame stakes thing. Like, I don't give a shit what happens to any of them because of all the time stream hoo-ah. It's like, anybody can get brought back. And Logan, you know, I don't think anything's sacred, but that movie's like basically perfect. Why do we even need to mention it? You know what I mean? Well, Logan was a hero in my world. Like, who gives a fuck? This isn't even the same guy. Like, why do we even have to bring that in? I don't know, man. Like,
well, also, like, I mean, not for nothing, but I don't. One thing I don't understand about the movie, like, the logistics of that movie is that, like, the Logan was Deadpool in the Logan timeline? Because I don't feel like he, like, I don't know.
Implication.
Right, but, like, did you think he was in that timeline? Like, does it go in the future in Logan? Like, I don't know.
It's the weird. More important question is, who could give a fuck?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't give a shit. Like, I don't find Deadpool by himself in these movies compelling. It's just a vehicle for jokes, and when you tell 10,000 jokes in 2 hours, some of them are going to land. You know, I chuckled here and there. Like, I like Wesley Snipes. That's fun.
That was fun.
But the movie's just, it's got nothing on his mind. It's just, it's too fucking long. I don't know. It just wasn't for me, man. Like, I'm just kind of tired of it.
Yeah. I feel like, too.
That's it. It was a movie.
I felt like Hugh Jackman did a great job, but he can't help but do a good job. Like, I thought he like, all his parts were really good. Like,
it's so jarring, though, because he's playing a lot of it very straight.
Yeah.
And he's really good, but it doesn't fit with this, like, bullshit Looney Tunes movie they're trying to make.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I will say also, like, the fucking Wolverine mask does look really good. Like, it's kind of annoying. Yeah. It's annoying it took him that long to be like, hey, we can just give him the whole Wolverine mask, because it looks fucking great. But it's
like you spent $200 million to basically make a bottle movie and then tack on a half hour at the end that who gives a shit about. You know what I mean? It's like, I always wanted to be an Avenger. Like, fucking since when?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, if you came from the Fox universe, did the Avengers exist there? Like, I don't know. It's just,
it's confusing, but that also, like, remember, he always, like, he breaks the fourth wall. Like, he knows Hugh Jackman's real name. You know what I mean? Like, so.
No, I know. It's just.
He is literally the beyonder. Like, he knows everything.
I don't know. I'm kind of over it with Marvel movies at this point. Like, I just make a smaller movie, do something interesting.
I would have been happy if it was more along the lines of what they did with the first two Deadpool movies, because those were much more like small in scale, and I think they work a lot better. Also, you lose points. You could have had Zazie Beetz in the movie, and you didn't. So that's like that's negative points for you.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anyway, that's everybody. That's everybody, right?
I forgot I watched one more thing.
Oh, go ahead, Gox, before we get into.
I watched VHS 1984.
Oh, it sucks. It's so bad.
Yeah, it also sucks.
All these movies suck. Well, that's the movie where it's like 1984, but none of the fucking segments feel like they're 80s. Like, it's bullshit. Yeah. Like, yeah, that shit.
I think it was 1984. It's the one with the kids at the lake in the beginning, and then the conceit is that the family kills them, and that's how you get brought in. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, they were like a family of serial killers or something.
They're not like serial killers. They're like purge level, like sport hunter people collecting. Yeah. Anyway,
or they're like the people from like fucking Hostel. They're
a family of Hostels.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So Shudder like just keeps cranking out these VHS.
There's a new
movies.
One. There's a yeah, new one Beyond. That just came out. Yeah. People, I've seen positive things, but I literally, out of all those movies, dude, the only segment that I think is any good is that one with the cult that Gareth Evans directed. You watched that, right?
What about Didn't we watch that together? Yeah.
That's not it. That's in ABCs of Death.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to ask, like, are any of these movies any good? Because I haven't, like,
The only good one is that one. I think it's in the second one. And it's just one of the segments. And it's that cult. And it's fucking awesome. Like, that segment is great. But, I mean, it's Gareth. It's the Raid guy. That guy fucking rules.
That guy slaps.
Yeah, the good Gareth.
The good Gareth. All right. Well, anyway.
All right, Gox. What happened in our feature presentation, Strange Darling? And I was thinking about this.
I don't want to spoil it.
No, we have
TJ,
we
I don't. Can't... TJ, I want to know if your 3.5-star review will change by the end of this, because I was actually kind of surprised.
I didn't give it 3.5 stars. I gave it 4.5 stars. I thought you did
on Letterboxd. Oh.
No. I gave it 4.5 stars. I'm pretty sure. I have to look, but no, it's definitely not a 3. No, I don't want to give away my review already, but well, I did give it 3.5 stars out of 5. Yeah, I guess that is a little unfair. Yeah, anyway, Gogs, what happened in us? And no, but hold on. No, I'm sorry. I drank too much whiskey. Again, my back really fucking hurts. I'm self medicating. I feel like we have to
explain yourself.
We got to
spoilers for Strange Darling. If you haven't seen the movie,
go watch the movie. I would be surprised
if most of us didn't recommend seeing it.
Otherwise, go watch the movie. Like, I don't feel like you could, like, if we have to talk around this movie, it's going to be impossible.
It's like, go, please. Don't ruin this for yourself. If you have any interest in watching this movie, stop what you're doing.
The episode right now.
I'm about to ruin the image and the style that
you I look funny.
No, but seriously, this movie it cracked into my top 3. It might be my favorite
movie. Yeah, this movie fucked up my whole list. Honestly.
Yeah, like this movie's really fucking good.
This movie is like perfect for us. This is an us movie.
Yeah,
like, it's at least 3 of 4 quadrant banger.
Yeah. So, anywho, Strange Darling. Movie opens. Now's your last chance to get out. Yeah. The movie begins as most movies do, and it lets you go. It does. It begins in the dead center. You're treated to a crawl that talks about a serial killer and is documenting like their last 2 days.
And this has to be noted. This is very like the Texas color Chainsaw. Scheme, the color scheme, the voiceover. It's very Texas Chainsaw, but it's also very like exploitation because it sounds like the Grindhouse guy's voice. Like,
but why was it so dark?
What's that?
Why was it so dark?
Because they shot it on film.
Oh, because it was in 35mm.
You could barely read it.
Oh, really?
He's
right. The crawl's a little bit difficult to read. Also, before we get too deep into it, I forget. Weirdly, Giovanni Ribisi shot this movie but didn't direct it.
Yeah, I said that in the beginning.
Hell of a photographer, by the way,
dude. If he's the one that picked these shots,
yeah, he's a cinematographer, dude.
The lighting in this movie is immaculate. By the way,
real goddamn good. So anyway, movie opens. You're treated to a crawl, and I believe it says it's like I forget if it says a love story told in 6 parts. It's something told in 6 chapters is what it says. And then it's immediately chapter 3, and in chapter 3, you've got a young woman in a 1970s Pinto. I'm like, oh, that's fun. It's a period piece.
Yeah, no, it is not. It is not.
She's being chased by the kid from Nightmare on Elm Street and from Jennifer's Body. And my man is doing cocaine and chasing her down in like a brand new GMC Sierra or what have you. So it's not a period piece. She's just in an old car. And like, it's fucking tense. And it's
that guy's name is Kyle Gallner.
Right. He rules.
Yeah. He's
very credited good. As the demon. In this movie.
Well, that makes sense by the end of the movie. Yeah. I was very confused at that, especially once the reveal is laid. I was like, well, why is he? But then when she says what she says, like towards the very end of the movie, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I called one of the twists very early in the movie, and then the second twist I didn't get. I didn't expect. So she's being chased by my man, and then my man like does like this epic bullshit where he fucking says, fuck it, pulls the car over, jumps out. He has a lever action, like,
yeah, that's a cool gun.
Rifle.
As our chief ballistics and weapons expert, like, yeah, that's a pretty cool gun, right?
It's like a 45 long Colt. It is. It's a cowboy action rifle. That thing is dope. The thing is, I've thought about buying one of those on numerous occasions.
Do you have any? Have you ever fired a lever action rifle?
No.
Yeah, that sounds pretty. I always think of fucking Terminator. Fucking
Arnold.
Yeah.
Not a real one.
No.
Well, he like mean like Rider, from video games.
Like I have a Red Rider. Like I have a little.
Oh you know, yeah, I had a BB gun. Yeah, we all have those. Yeah, sure.
So anywho, so my man gets in the bed of his truck and fucking sends it. She goes into an embankment. He goes up to go chase her. She's on foot, hop, skibbity, jump. She's hauling her ass through the fields of what looks like the Pacific Northwest. I forget if they say.
I don't know if they ever actually.
Or is it California?
No, they definitely say in the opening crawl.
Do they?
Talking about how it's a serial killer who went like all over the West Coast and their
final. Oh, that's right. You're right. You're
thing
right.
Was in like Oregon.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. So she was. So there's organs in Oregon.
And until the stupid twist, I was gonna make the joke. Oh, Nate was Nate was in Denver around this time. Maybe Nate was the killer. But then the twist. Happened,
you know, it is always the ones you work. Least. It's always the ones you least suspect. You know?
I mean,
Nate, dude, if Nate
Denver,
was
well, anybody, he was in Denver at the same time. He doesn't like Quiznos. Uh-huh. Like, he's got all the makings of a serial killer.
He's charming. Like, I'd go into his house without suspecting a thing.
1,000%. You know what, though? Nate's so nice. If I got murdered by him, I'd be like, so be it.
Good on you, right?
Yeah. Like, just let it ride.
Turn me into luggage or whatever your plan
is. Thank you, sweet angel. Thank you for ending my misery, finally.
Absolutely.
I was hoping he killed me the whole time I stayed at his house, but, you know.
And then he's like, well, I'm not going to kill you now. I only do it when you don't like
it. You don't want it. Yeah.
Right. Well, anyway, he wants non-consensual murder, but everyone consents to Nate killing
Isn't
you.
Isn't a consensual murder a suicide?
Yes.
You only do it yourself.
No, but like
you can't be masturbated.
Not according to
it's called medically assisted suicide, not medically assisted
masturbation. Yeah. Oh, anywho, so she runs through the fields and streams and over the fences and through the hills to grandmother's house, and she ends up at Ed Begley Jr.'s house. Which is like
shout out to him and Barbara Hershey, by the way.
Barbara Hershey, she's a gem.
Barbara Hershey shows up in it. Ed Begley Jr., though, it's so funny. I think I talked about this on the show previously, but I hadn't seen the movie. But his daughter, Ed Begley Jr.'s daughter, has TikTok.
So sweet.
Yeah, and like his daughter seems really cool, but like most of the time, he's just kind of in the background of his daughter's TikToks, and he went to see Strange Darling, like, in a normal, like, movie theater. And I guess he, like, walked out and somebody recognized him. And he was, like, called his daughter. He's like, this guy recognized me from the movie.
Oh, and the end of that story, he gets home and, like, somebody from the cast is like, hey, we're going to go see the movie. Do you want to go? And yeah. He's like, yeah. And it's like, Dad, you just saw it, like, an hour ago.
he seems
like such a nice guy.
He seems so great.
I love him in that show. Like, I just...
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
So anyway, so they show up at Ed Begley Jr.'s house, and it's like hard cut. She's like, can you please help me?
Yeah.
So then, now we jump to chapter one. And we're like, oh, so how does it begin? And it's now the two main characters are in the front of old boy's truck. They're talking about how they're going to get it on. And they're
just standing like, by the neon hotel sign, which is
perfect.
Looks fantastic. Also, I mentioned Kyle Garner or Gallner. I have to mention Willa Fitzgerald, who is the lead actress in this, who is also fantastic.
She steals the fucking show. She is so good in this movie.
But she also is really good in the Fall of the House of Usher show. That's what I'd seen her from. She plays the young version of the mother of that family, and she's really fucking good in that, too. Like, I thought, I mean, I have, again, we'll get into it. I have issues with this movie, but, like, she's, she, like, elevates the material. Also, Alec, you probably, she's in the Reacher show as well, right? Like, I think she's in that.
Yes, she's in the season one.
Yeah.
I like that show a lot.
Yeah, she's really good.
I think that guy. That guy.
Yeah, he's real big.
He's real big.
That's a big dude.
Boy. He's very progressive.
Yeah, he's kind of left, though. Yeah.
He's like him even more now. He's like a hardcore Christian, but very progressive somehow.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. He needs to come out as like a super lefty at like to like a Trump rally because Trump loves big guys and it would like break his brain because he's like, but he's a big guy. I got to love him.
He is impressed by intrinsic bigness.
Bro, Trump loves big guys. It's so funny.
Remember the football players, the fucking college national champions? Sean, and he was just how could I get over how big they were?
How could I fucking forget? That's the many fries. That's one of my favorite Trump moments. People eat the national champion.
I don't like Trump, but I would be stoked if there was a 200 fish fillet somewhere. Like, I would be very excited.
You know those things were ice fucking cold, though, dude. That's fine. I'm trash, though. Anyway.
I detest the man, but I think it'd be fun to sit down and watch Predator with him, because I bet he'd have the best time.
Do you ever hear the story about how he loves Bloodsport? Like, he loves Bloodsport, but he makes his son fast forward through all the boring parts.
All the talking bits. I mean, that's kind of based, actually. It's like
getting Bloodsport down to like an 18-minute short. Dude, that's,
if it's just the kumite, like that's kind of based. It's the biggest Chinese man you've ever seen. He's kicking this French guy.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's shocking that like they haven't spliced together like clips of like villains from all 80s movies. But like, these are the guys they're sending over.
Oh, Bolo Young. He's not that old. He's Bolo Young.
See, this guy
sounds Korean. The name sounds Korean to me, but he's Chinese. I guess he's Chinese now.
This guy was Ogre.
Everyone loved Ogre.
Harley Davidson's American Made.
So, has a shitty Bloodsport remake not come out yet?
Someone has to have pitched it.
I thought they did. I thought we watched it.
That was Kickboxer.
No, Kickboxer.
Oh, that was
Dave Batista. That movie's actually good.
That was pretty good, though, yeah.
Was it Batista?
Yeah.
He played Tom Poe. He's the heavy.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Batista, why did I say that? That movie that I thought looked kind of interesting, The Killer's Game, is on the Plex. It was like in theaters for like a week. I don't know. I thought it looked kind of fun. Like, he's a assassin that gets hunted by every other assassin. I'm like, I don't know. That could be fun.
I'll watch a Dave Bautista film.
It's on the Plex. Check it out.
Don't watch My Spy 2.
Yeah, that was not good.
That's a cash grab.
Also, shout out to Bautista for having reverse twink death somehow. And now he's like a giant twink.
Yeah. I love that guy.
I love him to death. Anything with tiny glasses and Dave Bautista. So now, we're in my man's Sierra.
His truck.
They're slugging back Brucey's. They're talking about
one smoking, one's vaping.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, we're trying to set the ground rules for this engagement. We establish, but old boy is married. She's like, you know how she's like, I like, she sets up the premise. She's of not the premise, but the idea. She's like, we know women like casual sex, but it's risky for us. Like, it's not risky for you. Like, we have to worry about getting murdered. So you're like, and you already saw where it ends up. So you're like, okay, well, you know, she kind of called it. So fair point.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And that's where you are led to believe. And it goes back and forth, and they have their little moment, a little tete-a-tete. And then
I just want to say, because like later on, I do have some problems with like the dialogue. I thought that this scene was actually pretty well written. Like, I liked
it. Was really well written.
This all went again, my issues with the movie come later on, but like this part was great. Like, I was, this movie, like, you know, we're all familiar with the TJ rule at this point. I was so in the first 20 minutes of this movie, I was like, after the crawl, I was like, oh, I'm in. Like, this is fantastic. Like, I was sold immediately. Like, this one grabbed me right away.
It I would say, yeah, it like the chase in the beginning had me, and then it was beautifully shot. I was like, all right, what are we doing here? And then when old dude got on top of his truck and like opened fire and then chased it, like I was like, okay, like
why?
Like the scene and here that's set is fucking wild.
I love the conceit of telling you that it's a story in six parts and then telling you those parts out of order. Like that's already
right, like, my hook. Okay. Like I was like, as soon as like I was like itching for like what chapter would be next, like because it's all going to go down in two, right? Like when we see chapter two, all will be revealed.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a really like, I mean, that's a really clever way to tell. Like honestly, if you went through one through six, the story's kind of basic,
kind of boring,
right? But like to break it up, it actually subverts your if Rian Johnson's your ass and Bucks, TM, and. You know, it subverts your expectations just by rearranging the order in which you see the story. I thought that was really clever. Like, I thought that was
rearranged the story's guts and made a better movie for it.
Yes.
Exactly. It's rearranging never actually happens later.
As you know, most you know, that's at a right out of a Rex Reed review.
Well, the rearranging Tarantino, the
story's guts.
The Quentin Tarantino school of rearranging the story's guts. So now, anywho, so now we're establishing that these two know each other. Certainly is like a fling. This is a one night stand. It's not really explicitly stated if she's like a prostitute, which I don't think she is. I think she's out looking for a good time.
I never pick that up.
No, but I mean like they're not like
Jesus Gogs.
What? No, I'm not. I'm just asking the question. You had the thought of like what's happening?
No,
here? I don't know.
So. I thought that the from their conversation, I thought that they were just two people.
They're both out there looking to have a good
time. They met at a bar.
They met at a bar. They kind of hit it off at the bar.
They hit it off real good.
That's right.
He's a handsome.
And Kyle Gallner ignores every red flag, which is a man up to my heart.
Yeah.
Like her literal wigs, her Run Lola Run wig should have been the first thing that was like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Yeah. But, and also, like, I think it's in this scene where, like, it's definitely implied that some, like, oh, no, it's not until the following scene. And then they cut back to it that, like, kinky stuff has been discussed.
Well, yeah, it's beyond kinky. I mean, just to put it out there.
No, it's
like just monetized. It is when you are first meeting somebody and they try to engage you in rape play. It's time to go. Like,
yeah. That
not good.
Yeah, that is not a first date kind of thing.
But no. He is a true cocksman.
I don't know why. Like, I mean, I think we watched Choke on the show, right? But like, remember there was that like that scene in Choke where there was the girl with the rape play, and she's like, "I want you to play stab me." He's like, "You want me to stab you?" It's like,
"No, it was I want you to hit me."
It's like, hit me with a knife.
No, that's stabbing me.
Underrated movie, Choke. I really
that movie's a banger.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now rules are established, whatever. They're going to have themselves a good time. Now we jump to chapter four, I believe.
Good for you keeping up with the numbers, because I was thinking.
Is this the Here Kitty Kitty chapter?
This is Here Kitty Kitty. This is him stalking. So now we are back at the farmhouse, and he is stalking through. She is hiding somewhere and being lit by a lighter. And he is stalking her through this house. Giving it a little
and you notice a very dead Ed Begley Jr. in the
gunshot.
Well, you don't know. He's just all face down in blood. Like he didn't
white
really
bags in the yard too that he stops and kind of looks at for a second,
which is super clever, which is like super brilliant. Anyway, so now he's stalking through this house and he's trying to figure out like what the hell. Like he like every footlocker, every chest, every whatever. He just. Says, "Hey, kitty, kitty," and he blows a hole through it, right? And it's him just wandering through the house, smoking a cigarette. Oh, also, wait, I gotta tell. Fuck, I fucked this up. There's a scene earlier in the movie where she's going through the woods and she stumbles across maybe some sort of vagrant's hideout. And you see the side of her head's all bloodied up and fucked up. And she finds like a thing of vodka and a pack of cigarettes. And she like takes the bandage off her head. Douses herself in vodka, lights a cigarette. I thought she was going to self-immolate for a second there, and then carries on her way. But she's like going through it. She's like fucking hardcore. Anyway, so now we're going through the house, stalking around, trying to find her. And he's like, kind of, he goes upstairs, goes downstairs. It seems like he's given up. And then he walks to the, this is chapter five. This is not chapter four. This is chapter five. I'm sorry. So he walks outside. Because I was trying to think how this works. He walks outside and he sees a bunch of shit on the ground, like cold meats. And he's like, oh. And he walks back inside. He finds the chest freezer and he fucking pops a hole in it and hears her scream because she emptied out the chest freezer so she can hide in there. Yeah. And then next scene. Now we are, now we're at chapter
nine.
I forget. This jumps back to,
I think this jumps back this to jumps when back they to have them, they're gonna be well, they actually never have sex.
Right, they never do. They're going to fool around and do whatever. And there's some very, very, like, intense role play happening.
This is where the movie does, like, a double fake, right? Because she is into being, like Sean said, like, rape play. She's into stuff being very hard. And then she's basically, like, you know, taunting him the whole time and what about, but so then there's a switch that turns and he starts getting really aggressive. Also, we should point out that in the very beginning of the movie, like the very beginning of the movie, there is, right after the title crawl, there is a cut to the scene that we've been talking about that's lit by the blue light where she asks if he's a serial killer. And you just see him, like, his, like, body in blue light, like
he's choking.
Like choking her. Well, that happens now. And it's a switch that turns. So you're like,
well, they also at some point when they're in the truck pan down to, like, below his seat, oh, there's you see the gun.
Yeah. Well, rifle, and the gun you already know he has because of the beginning of the movie. But yes. And so there's a switch that turns and you're like, oh fuck. So this is where it's going to go down and he's going to fucking he's going to reveal his true intentions and all.
Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, and then she says, Mr. Suff, and that's then it cuts back to what I was talking about previously, where this is where you find out that, no, she wanted him to go, like, as hard as possible, and he was not cool with it, or at least he was very hesitant about it. So all of the stuff that we've seen where you're like, oh, he's the fucking killer, like, he's going to do it. This is all play. This is all Go ahead,
Sean. I'm sorry, go ahead. They don't make movies like this anymore. Like I want to say De Palma-ish kind of horny thriller. Yes. Like it feels very fresh, although it's not like a new conceit at all. Like kind of the level to which it goes. I was going to save this for later, but this is the movie I want Natural Born Killers to kind of be. And
you know what? Yeah, I could see that. Totally.
I think I'm fucking this up, this order, but I'm going to keep talking.
It doesn't matter, dude. You're fine.
So at this point, I've sort of figured out she's the killer.
Like, well, nothing's happened yet.
Nothing's happened yet, but the fact that he relinquishes after the words are said, and then you get the flashback about where you can tell that he's just along for the ride. And you're like, this will be fun.
I can't remember, but in this sequence, doesn't it eventually go so far as where she starts torturing him, and this is where she starts getting way more aggressive. And
yeah, so I'm screwing this up because at some point we flash back to the farmhouse and we find out that when she gets let in by the farm, they have high breakfast.
Oh my god, this fucking breakfast. This motherfucker uses a stick of butter to fry like four eggs.
Like, they have stoner breakfast. They answer the door.
Disgusting.
Sean texted me. Sean watched the movie before I did. And he's like, let me know what you think about the breakfast. I don't even think you said the breakfast, but you're like, the scene. And you'll know. And I knew exactly what it was.
It reminded me of, like, Eraserhead. Like, it's gross. Like, do I just eat it like a normal breakfast?
It's so fucking
piling, like, they made a bacon and egg and pancake Benedict, and they covered it with a whole thing of, like, grape jelly. It's
disgusting.
It is wild. Calorically, it's like 4,000 calories.
They do go out of their way to say that they're, like, old hippies.
They are high and they're on perks. Like, they're just having a good time. So anyway, she's vibing. Like, they take her in. They're like, we're gonna call the cops. Barbara Hershey goes to get her some Percocet. And then this big twist happens. Willa, what's her last name? TJ Willa.
Ford. Fitzgerald.
Willa Fitzgerald.
No, you're thinking of Edmund.
She, yeah. Dude, that's all rules. Edmund, the Edmund Fitzgerald, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Anyway, so now she brains Ed Begley Jr. Well, with his
did
phone.
You mention that Ed Begley keeps trying to call the cops because he's worried about her?
And she's like, no cops.
She's like, no cops,
So she brains him and steak knifes him. And then he is, now we were talking about earlier when I was talking about Terrifier 2 and how that violence did nothing for me because it was too goofy. The scene where you come in and see Ed Begley Jr. all fucked up, I was like, that is horrific.
Yeah.
That is like gruesome.
Oh, we'll talk about it at the end, but Jesus Christ.
So now you're like, oh shit. And then she basically pulls a knife on Barbara Hershey. She's like, listen, I don't want to kill you. Is there somewhere I can tie you up? Like, where it's going to be easiest? Where can I put you to get you out of the way? Like, I don't want to kill you. And so Barbara Hershey is like, I can go down to the root cellar. And then now we're seeing. Now we're back to, I think, when the consensual stuff is happening. And then it doesn't happen. And they're back and forth. And you're trying to figure out who's going to do what. And she's like, we should do some cocaine about it. He's like, I haven't done cocaine in a while. But sure, why not? So they both
definitely lying.
They both do a little bit. And then he falls into a K-hole, she is basically like
She switches his cocaine to ketamine. Yeah, she's doing coke and he's doing ketamine.
We've all been there.
Yeah. And so like with her coke strength, she drags his like half.
Well, she also tases the dog shit out of him too.
Also, at some point, we might have already missed it. She goes through his wallet and finds that he's a cop.
After she's tortured him. She's like, so she like cuts him up for like, and they do this really cool thing where it's like, she starts cutting him and it's like 1 minute. Then just on the screen, it doesn't even, it just goes black. It's like 1 minute, 2 minutes, three minutes.
You think
it
was hear like him 10. Reacting. Yeah.
So then she's in the bathroom cooling off, like getting her, you know, chasing her dragon or whatever.
The implication too, I don't want to lose this because she says it where she puts her mark, is that she may also be in love with him instantly, which is also psychotic, but believable.
Right, and there's also a scene where she, like, there's a flash scene where she sees as a demon or devil at some point.
Yeah.
And so, like, that becomes part of her psychosis and whatever. But she goes out and she realizes he's a cop. She's flipped through his wallet in the bathroom. She throws his phone in the toilet. She throws his ball toy. She finds out he's a sheriff or whatever. She goes back out and she like mounts him and he's still fucked up. And he's got an E and an L carved into her because in the beginning of the crawl, and this is like, this plays to your bias, right? Everyone assumes that the serial killer is, they never name the serial killer. And the serial killer's name is the Electric Lady.
And she's told, she is credited as the lady, which sounds like a victim. Right.
And the demon sounds not good.
No.
So she carves an EL on him and like over his heart. And she's like, I've never done that there before. And she's like, I forget what she says. She says some sort of coup de grace or something. And then she's
Singing like Love Hurts or singing it.
She's like,
this is a really weird song. Version of it. Yeah.
So she's getting ready to stab him. And then earlier in the movie, you saw that he had an ankle pistol and he basically blows off, not the side of her head, but he takes her ear off.
Yeah. He like, trumps her.
He trumps her. Yeah. And he and then she runs away and she starts screaming, he's got a gun. And she's like, jumps over the balcony.
No, this is my favorite part of the movie.
Like, I have a guy got a gun too.
She jumps out of the fucking window and she yells at this fucking Texas looking guy. He's got a gun. And this motherfucker there. In the most fucking like grindhouse way possible goes, I got a gun too. And he pulls out the fucking Magnum. Like, what
Jody from Preacher pops into the movie for a second.
So anyway, so now my man is doing actual cocaine to balance himself out.
To charge up, yeah. He's right. Popeye in it.
Yeah. So she hustles her ass down the hill from this motor lodge, and then she stumbles into, like, I guess, like an office. And she's like, look, I need help. So there's a guy coming. He's crazy. He's going to kill me. And there's a woman in scrubs. She's like, I don't want to get involved. There's another woman.
Well, this also kind of speaks to, you know, this subversion where it's like everybody believes her because she's like this tiny woman.
Yeah.
And
she
uses that, you know, to her advantage throughout the entire movie.
Will be part of the problem that TJ has later, but we'll
talk about it. Which I understand, but yeah.
So then the woman's like, no, we're going to take care of her. We're going to help her out. Then she catches a fucking six of steel in the neck.
Again, take note that this is the first example of many where the women are dumb and make the worst decision and leads to people dying. But that
That is,
I mean, I don't know if it's women. I don't know if it's women are dumb.
It's specifically women.
Because I think it's like, Kyle Gallner makes worse decisions than literally anybody in this movie. And also, I mean, this comeuppance.
That is fair.
Also, a woman is the one at the end who resolves the situation.
That's fair. That's
Trust but verify.
I think it's less women are dumb. It's more like this woman sees a woman in peril and she's going to help her because that is what she is going to do. Like, it's like, now you can say, that if you saw a man in the same situation, you would not necessarily believe.
Well, it's nice too, because like, you know, Ed Begley and everybody else that is stupid is not like sexually stupid. Like Kyle Gallner is, you know what I mean? It's like, she doesn't like sultry.
She's not
honey-potting them.
My biggest problem scene is a little later on. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Right. So she stabs one woman in the neck, then she shoots the other one. She's like, listen, just give me your car and your clothes. I don't want to hurt you. And she's like, which car is yours? Like, the motorcycle. Pinto.
Right.
And she's like, fucking really? Seriously? And now we're back to chapter one, right? Where the car chase happens. So now we jump all the way back to chapter six. So now old boy has found her in the meat freezer. He punched her in the face, like knocked her lights out. And now he can't finish her off. Like, he can't kill her. Because he's a moral, he's got, even though all this shit has gone down, he's got like a moral, he can't bring him to it. So he handcuffs her.
I think he's still just thinking with his dick. Like, I don't think morality comes into play with this at all.
With his dick at this point?
Well, I also think he's incredibly fucked up at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's very gapped up. Well, I think he says it pretty explicitly, like life in prison is not worth finishing you off.
Yeah. I also get the impression from him calling and be like, hey man, I'm in a little bit of trouble. Like, this is not the first weird situation he's been in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Maybe that's, I don't know.
The way he calls his buddy, it's like, I'm in trouble again. So yeah, I think Sean's got something there. I think
Does he say again?
No, it's the, I don't know, remember if he says it again, but the tone is very nonchalant.
Well, it's like, I'm in a little bit of trouble here. Like, I need help. Like, he's called his boy. Right. Yeah. And so then they show up, like the police show up. Well, anyway, so he's sitting there talking. Now she's woken up. She's handcuffed to things. She's talking about how, you know, she's like, you know what? I don't even care if I go to prison. I just don't want to die. Isn't that wild? Like even with all the death I'm around, the last thing I want to do, I'll do whatever it takes to survive. And they're just having this back and forth about, she's like, how about, you're going to get in trouble? And he's like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm not, like, I'll deal with that, but I'm not going to prison for murdering you. You're going to go to prison. Like, and then she bear maces him because she managed to get a hold of Barbara Hershey. She's bear mace. He stumbles his way over to her, and then she fucking throat rips him with her teeth.
Yeah, that shit's brutal.
So
and
now
he just lays there on the fucking ground, bleeding out.
Bleeding out, and then she climbs out, and then she hears the cops come in, so she pulls her pants halfway down. And so now it looks like she defended herself from a violation from this man who has handcuffed her to this freezer. And this is probably the part of the movie that I was like, I could have done without the way this was written. Because it becomes a very, if it was two male cops having this conversation, I think it would go a lot better.
Yeah.
Or if it was the male cop defending her and the female cop saying, hey, hold your horses.
The setup is the old cop versus the young cop. It so happens that the young cop is a woman. And I don't know if that is intentional or I don't know if he recognizes it in the same way. I'm not sure.
It's like I said to Sean Analog, it's hard to say because this movie definitely goes for like a very grindhouse aesthetic. So intentionality seems a little hard to suss out, but it is, again, to me, watching this scene was a little tough because it seems a little mean-spirited. Because this female cop like fucks everything up. The male cop knows what to do, and if you listen to him, he'd still be alive.
I mean, I think that's a fair read. I also, like, you know, I was talking to TJ, and I don't know what you guys talked about, but we're conditioned to view women a certain way, which is why the movie works as subversive as it is. Yeah, so I'm bringing a lot of baggage into it that, like, I may be putting something there that's not intentional. However... Yeah, sure. As well as the rest of this movie setup, maybe it is intentional. And if so, it's a little, I don't love it, but you know, I feel like it's a very I feel like it's a very minor criticism compared to the overall movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's done for a reason. I don't know if it's done for a mean-spirited reason, but it's certainly done intentionally.
I feel like it comes off very mean-spiritedly. You know what,
maybe if you put two men in there, maybe it doesn't read the same way. Like, oh yeah, these that's female cops, saying. One of them's going to be like this, like, oh, believe her type thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
If you had two male cops having the same conversation, it would probably play a little better.
But would you believe it? Or if you had
two female cops, honestly,
it would play maybe a little better.
Like,
it would just the way it's written, it's a little
it definitely
rough. Only because I'll say this, it's a little rough in conjunction with the rest of the movie, because like Sean said, the serial killer like kind of relies on what people expect out of women. So it's a little, again, I don't know if I'm bringing too much. Like Sean just said, I might be bringing too much baggage into this movie, but I feel like it's a little gross because it's like,
because if it's intentional, like, it's lazy, like, it's like and gross.
Exactly. And it almost feels like a counterpoint to like the believe women thing. And again, I don't know.
But at the same time, the movie works because the movie subverted our expectations. None of us expected her to be the serial killer.
Right, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that's true. But like, what is the intentionality of the director behind those decisions?
I think that I can see why people would be like, this director hates women. Like, I can see why they would make that argument, but I don't know if that was the intention.
That's my question, and I don't know either. And that's why I'm a little hesitant.
I think maybe, if anything, if he does realize it, that's why the person that picks her up at the end and ultimately deals with the situation is a woman.
True. That's fair.
That's a fair point. Right. Like, it's
because she believes her, but she also is, she's kind of a blend of those two characters. You know what I mean? She believes her, but she's ready to rock.
But she's also, she ain't playing around because she's got a fucking 44. So she dupes the cops. She drops off the female cop, right? She doesn't kill the female cop, right?
Well, they're in the car
and they're leaving. And then Barbara Hershey runs up. She's like, this woman killed us all. She help. Because
also good piece of writing, by the way, that the hippie like comes back around and like, I was like, oh, that was awesome. I was like, that's a good piece.
You've forgotten about her at this point. So much other shit has happened.
I figured she was going to be dead somewhere else. I didn't think she'd actually let her live, but she did. So then the killer shoots her in the head. Now it's like, give me your guns. We're going to keep driving. And now basically she holds the gun to the female cop's head and tells the male cop, like, if you fuck around, I'm blow her brains out, and then you die next. Like, so just understand, like, you may not care about your life, but if you give a shit about her, don't do anything, right? Like, so they drive away a little bit, and then I think she lets.
I thought she killed her anyway. I can't remember now.
Does anyone?
She didn't kill the female cop. The female cop got away.
I think the killer doesn't like men. I think she probably killed only men up until this point, and she's only killed women when it's been inconvenient for her to let them live. Because even when she kills someone, she's like,
"I feel like that."
Well, she definitely kills those people in the office. She's like, "I'm sorry, I had to do that," but I don't think she killed the woman whose clothes and car she took.
I don't know, but she killed the other one. Like, and she did. I mean, she in this scene, she explains why she does what she does.
Right.
She sees literal demons in people.
So then she takes the other cop out till I guess they run out of fuel, and he's like, "What are we doing next?" She's like, "I got to think about it," and then she ends his ass.
I really love this. I think at one point it might be before this, but she asks the male cop asks her
if she's like, really the electric lady.
Are you gonna kill me? And she's just like, she's got this. Her reaction to that is so well done because it's like you can tell that she's like conflicted because she shakes her head but she nods at the same time, and it's like she doesn't know what she's fucking doing. And like, I don't know. I just thought again. That Willa Fitzgerald, like her performance in this movie is wonderful.
It's one of those things, going back to the whether she hates men or doesn't, like it's not explicit, but I think if it is that, then it starts falling into that like promising young woman thing. And I don't think that's the intention of the movie.
No, well, I don't agree. I don't think so either. Also, that movie sucks.
Oh, anyway, so. she she ends old boy, and then she starts hitching, and she meets up with another woman, and then this woman doesn't buy her guff, and she finishes her off, and that's...
And it is the most horrifying death scene. It tops
because she
suffocates, basically, and writhes for 5 minutes.
The camera just stays on her while, like, literally, like, it reminded me of that scene in 1917 where that kid dies, like, slowly after getting shot, and, like, you see, like, basically the color go out of his face. Like, it was
I still don't understand how they did that in one take.
Or it's also the colors going out of her face, and then the movie slowly running out of blood, too, like, which is a pretty fucking good choice as far as photography goes.
Agreed.
So then that's it.
That's the movie.
I'm going to put on Front Street. This is one of my two favorite movies this year. I'm going to have to flip a coin between this and I saw the TV Glow, which are two very different movies.
Very, very different.
But like, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Dune 2 would be like 4 or 5 maybe on my list, I'd be like, that's fucking crazy because I love that movie.
It's not even top 3.
Well, I mean, Kind to Kindness is somewhere around there too. So it's hard to say.
I did love that movie too. Alec, was your favorite part of this movie the breakfast?
No, my favorite part was when it ended.
Classic. I knew that was coming. As soon as I heard dumb twist come out of Alec's mouth, I'm like, uh-oh, we lost this one. We lost this one, boys. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Alec, what were your thoughts on it? Like, what's your take? What is your take on whether this is
hold on, anti-woman or this is a movie about bad people, and like this is not Alec's kind of movie. Alec does not like movies with like bad people.
Everybody's awful.
Everyone's terrible. The movie is incredibly dark. Like, this is not Alec's type of movie. Like, this is not something he's gonna jive with. And even though the villain does get killed at the end, it's not a very, like, sad... It's not like a heroic, vengeful death.
Yeah, he wasn't thrown off the top of Nakatomi Tower.
Right, exactly. Like, but continue, Alec. I didn't mean to...
She just got a slug in the gut. I thought that scene was... Like, the actual scene of her death as it progressed was neat. But, like... She pulls the gun, and the driver already has the gun on her. Like,
well, she keeps that thing on her.
I mean, she must. She must be the quickest draw in the West. That shit. She had her gun out, like, before Willa Fitzgerald even, like, aimed the gun at her, because she got slugged immediately. I don't know. I didn't like the jumping around between chapters. I understood, like, doing it at the beginning for, like, the one chapter, but then the rest of it just, I don't know, it seemed like a lazy way to make it not super interesting movie more interesting.
I mean, you're not wrong, because I forget which one of you guys said it. If you just told this totally linearly, it's like a movie about people doing weird fucking for, like, 40 minutes, and then a bunch of shit that happens afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, you could have had that scene start the movie, still gone with everything pretty much linearly, and then at some point you catch up and you're like, oh, this is where this happened. But I don't know, maybe they got to like post or like, this movie's kind of boring. What can we do to spice it up without reshooting anything? Just cut it up, make it chapters or something.
So fuck it, cut them up.
The song, what song was it again? I can't remember what it was, but I loved
Love the, Hurts.
Yeah, Love I loved Hurts. That song around the whole movie.
Yeah.
It almost made me laugh at the beginning when they were playing it when she was running, because it reminded me of...
What
ad was it? Is it like... Yeah, I can't remember what it reminded me of, but nostalgia struck in about something...
The wedding singer?
Song playing. No... I think Goggs is right. It was an ad campaign of like, maybe it was like a Super Bowl ad.
It was like a sports
thing. Yeah, yeah, it was a sports thing.
All the teams have lost, and it's just like people destroying their memorabilia. As if they took a knee for the flag.
God forbid.
every once in a while, I'll see somebody post in one of the sports groups, and they're like, the NFL's dead to me. And it's like, they're just dying for somebody to ask them why. And you already know. That's why.
Yeah.
They hate that kickoff rule so much. What if that's what it is, and they're just like upset that nobody cares about the kickoff rule?
Yeah, they're sad that they don't the NFC plays the AFC teams in the regular season.
Some kind of like weird baseball purist in football.
I mean, to be honest, I kind of don't like it either. But
I hate interleague play. I don't even like the DH in the National League. But go on.
Yeah. You stop watching baseball because of it.
Yeah, and all of coloreds.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels needs to be more of a pocket passer.
Oh,
yeah,
God. He needs to be more of a student of the game.
And they don't have enough workhorse wide receivers. Yeah. Like, the twist was interesting. I don't even know what the second twist Gogs is talking about is.
Him being twist, a cop.
No, like, that didn't really ultimately matter. Aside from the fact that he was able to call his cop friend to try to cover for him.
Well, gives him a little coverage. Right. Ultimately, it really doesn't matter.
I guess
if he wasn't a cop, she could have killed him a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, it adds a bit of tension.
I mean, they could also just have a little bit.
Like, she's killing a cop. Like, that's a big deal.
Not really.
Not to me.
It's almost like killing a real person. Oh, take that.
Yeah, it definitely didn't help that there were some issues with the Plex for the first like 10 minutes, and it kept buffering.
Oh, I'm so that's weird.
And like I watched, it was just Plex. I don't know if it was because it was your Plex or just Plex in general. Like the app was having issues, but like for the first 10 minutes, it kept buffering like every 30 seconds, and I was like, "What the fuck?" I restarted the TV, I restarted the app, and eventually it went away. I was almost to the point of being like, "Well, fuck it, I'm just not going to do the show tonight. Forget it."
Sorry, dude.
I don't think it was your fault. I think it was Plex in general. Although I do love the Plex app. I actually paid the $5 so I can watch the shit on my phone.
Oh, you got the remote? Good for you.
Yeah, so I can watch the shit on my phone now. And
dude, it's the best.
On Plex the TV. Mode. Yeah, it's fucking great. And they got all kinds of like live shit and actually like their own movie catalog they've cultivated.
Shout out to Plex. Like, it's pretty great.
It is. I mean, that's all about pretty much all I had to say about. That's all I got to say about that.
All right. We want to just do five knuckle shuffles. Yeah. I have more to say, but you might as well just do it in the actual five knuckle shuffles. We've gone already pretty long.
This will be our longest episode in like months.
Yeah. Me and Alec got a nice tidy like 56 minutes last week.
did you guys watch either one of you watch ISS?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit. I forgot to ask. Thank you.
I watched most of it. I still need to finish it. So I need to. I'm going to.
It's good. It's pretty good. Sean, did you watch it?
I did not.
You should watch it. It's pretty good.
Every scene of the world burning in the background is fucking horrifying.
The world was burning in my backyard, so I was kind of occupied.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, what else were you going to do?
Right.
Got him.
It's all right. Aquaman's going to move in your house pretty soon.
Oh, hell yeah. Hopefully we'll split my butthole.
Hell yeah.
Jason Momoa, Aquaman.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nah.
All right.
Do you think he likes College Football 25? Because we could do that.
Hell yeah. You still enjoying that?
Yeah. Well, I just got Street Fighter 6 too. So I got that.
All right. Five knuckle shuffle time.
Pick somebody, ooh, dipshit.
Gogs.
I'm giving. I hate
it. We all just sit here forever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I hate women because it's a 10. Like, I love this movie.
We already knew that. I mean, we already knew that.
I guess, but now we're making.
Because she's a hooker, right? What?
That was wrong.
You're not.
You're really not defending your position.
I mean, she could be. We still know what her job is.
Who knows?
Like. I don't know. It's beautifully shot.
Don't worry, guys. I'll edit that out.
I don't care. No. Edit whatever you want.
Double down.
I'll like dub in your voice. Oh, she works at Waffle House, right?
Right.
She's definitely a waitress, right?
Yeah.
She's a waitress.
she's a whore in the same way that all women are whores. Quote Gogs.
Jesus.
So anywho,
fucking gogs can't be stopped. Good old
I've been Jordan Peterson.
Pill gogs.
Yeah.
But only about that one specific issue.
If you know, for those of you listening, for the six people listening at home, Gogs could not be. He's the nicest person ever.
No, I don't hate black women. I just hate women.
Yeah. Come on, stop. Equal opportunity. So no, this movie's beautifully shot. It had me from Jump Street. I concede, Alex, the thing, you know, it's cut up in chapters to make you like want it, maybe want to figure out what the hell was going on. Willa Fitzgerald is awesome in this. I gotta see other work that she's done. Watch
Fall of the House of Usher. It's really good. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was great.
I want to see more with Kyle MacLachlan or whatever the hell his name is.
Watch Twin Peaks. Watch The Passenger, dude. The Passenger is so good.
Or Dinner in America.
I need to watch that. It's supposed to be really good, too. Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
I also want to see what else Giovanni Ribisi has shot, because
I think just this.
How does that even happen, I wonder?
He's probably friends with the director. Probably wanted to try something new.
Well, he nailed it, so good job.
Also, just because I'm looking at IMDb, he is the Grindhouse voice in the beginning of the movie.
Hell yeah.
That's him.
No, this movie's I had no idea what I was getting into when I started it, and I'm just like so pleasantly surprised that
it's one of the few movies I can think of that like a spoiler would be a problem for me.
A spoiler would have really been bad for me on this one. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of this. So good job, whoever you were that made this.
JT Puffin Stuffs.
HR.
JT something. Hold on. JT.
LT Smash.
JT. JT Molnar.
JT Romuto.
Yes.
That's for Sean.
Nobody else.
Thank you. I got it.
Yeah. I don't know what else he's done.
This is categorized as an erotic thriller, which always reminds me of that one scene in Ghost World where he's like 9.5 weeks. You can find that in our erotic drama section.
Actually, you know what?
Drama is too much.
I was about to say, like, the poster on IMDb is fucking dope as shit, and it is dope, but, like, there's words on this poster that have made me not want to watch this movie. It says, from the producers of Barbarian and Late Night with the Devil. And I'm like,
I don't like either one of those movies. That's why you don't pay attention to producers, because they have almost no creative input into what a fucking movie is. They just give them money. Anyway.
It's
funny. Usually when movies stoop to that, it's usually the movie's bad, because they're usually
trying to remind you of a better movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in this case. But anyway, yeah. So it's a 10. It's a 10 for me. I don't get my heart broken, so I'm gonna go to Sean instead of Alec.
Oh yeah, this is a 10 for me. This is a movie for gogs who likes movies. Like, this is a lot Tarantino, a little De Palma, a little Lynch. Like, it's wears its influences on its sleeves, but in the best possible way. It's very short. Like, if the movie feels like it's 10 minutes long. From the way they cut it up, I think really helps with the pacing, because like a couple people have already said, if you told this totally linearly, like, it's paced kind of weird. I mean, it'll probably still work, but not as well as it does. I mean, it's basically a two-hander, and both performances are excellent. Like, really, really strong. Willa Ford is the best. But you know, Timu John Bernthal is also really good. He's a weird, you know, kind of energy, because he's like hyper masculine, but also kind of like a soft boy at the same time. Nobody's gonna get this but TJ, but what the fuck is the name of that bread tube guy? Noah Sampson. He's got Noah Sampson energy.
Oh, did you see? He cut his hair. It looks awful. What are you doing?
But yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that Noah Sampson was huge until I follow his Instagram, and he's like yoked out of his mind.
Yeah.
But no, this is like, again, and it's a throwback to movies they don't really make anymore, like erotic dramas.
Yeah, this is a very, you really hit the nail on the head there. This is a very, like, late 90s Miramax kind of movie.
Yeah, this is the movie California wishes it was, you know what I mean?
Wasn't it produced by Miramax?
Yeah, I didn't even think that company was still in
business. I thought Miramax didn't exist anymore, but yeah, I think you're right.
Went with, yeah.
Well, I mean, that was Harvey Keitel's company. I thought they were gone.
Harvey Keitel?
Well, Harvey Weinstein.
Or Harvey Weinstein, Jesus. Yes.
Wrong Harvey.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this movie is pretty much perfect. I get TJ's concern with the scene, and I don't know that I disagree, but I also don't know, again, I hate to keep saying intentionality because we sound like fucking teenage dorks.
To be fair, I'm conflicted by it. I don't really, like, it's just something that popped up in my head as I was watching.
Yeah, well, you dyed your hair blue and you started acting up, so we get it. But...
yeah, you know. Good old woke TJ. I mean, it is woke.
Produced by Miramax.
Yeah.
It is. Weird. Yeah, he's right. Weird. I forgot all about it, and I'm like, oh, shit. But no, I think this movie is fucking excellent. Like, this has been a terrible movie for years, wrote large, but the top end of it has been fantastic.
A year for movies, not movies for years.
Sure.
It was a weird way to say it.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
God damn. You should still say, like, mementos.
Weird way to, like, my brain broke. I was like, wait, what? And like,
your
caused like a hard reset on my brain. I was like,
your review was very woof.
Yeah, this, thank you. I want to be corrected by the guy that one time said Junork. So.
That's right. Hey, lightning in a pan, okay?
Lightning in a pan is fantastic. Let's get this over with, Boski.
Three. Well, you hit the nail on the head. It's not my type of movie. Not my jam. I like the music. Like, it was beautiful. It's beautiful. Like, it's shot beautifully. Like, the whole opening before you start getting into the chapters and seeing how things are going, and like, what you just heard, just running. And then, like, the chase in the car and the truck, like, that was all, like, fucking awesome. The shots all look cool. Like, Giovanni Ribisi did a hell of a job. He's come a long way since being a...
Phoebe's brother?
Who ends up marrying Red Foreman's wife.
Yeah.
And then Phoebe has their kids.
Yeah. Ugh,
friends. Gross.
Guys are getting into deep lore over there.
Yeah, the music's cool. I like Ed Bailey Jr. and stuff. Like, I like seeing him pop up. He's one of my favorite alopecia patients. but yeah, it's just like this movie was not ever going to be for me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
I mean, that's a fair. I mean, you know, that is fair.
Never for Alec, raves Alec.
I kind of thought about that as I was watching. I was like, Alec's going to hate this. Because you don't like, generally, you don't like, movies with, like, a bunch of shitty people in it. Like, it's just not your thing. It turns you off immediately, I think.
Yeah.
And when the main character. Weird,
because all your friends are fucking scumbags.
Yeah, the worst.
Separate.
Except for
Quiznos.
He's probably killing people. He might be killing a prostitute.
Yeah, he might
right
be
now.
Killing people. I'm also going to use my time before I hand the mic over to whoever.
Before I
next.
Yield my time to the
before
good
I yield
gentleman.
My time. R.I.P. Crackle.
Oh no!
Crackle is gone. Like,
damn.
We have the app on our Roku, and the other day, where it goes, like in the app lineup, it was just a little message that said Crackle is no longer available. I went and looked online. So I went and looked online. This is just to show you, like, the corporate connections in America right now. And I was going to say, guess who Crackle was owned by, but nobody was
Sony,
fucking guess.
Wasn't it?
Chicken Soup for the Soul.
What? Huh. The book?
The book. The company that made that book, it made, like, a bunch of chicken soup books and stuff, and then made, like, shows and shit about it. Yeah. They owned Crackle.
Hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah,
the soup doesn't crackle.
At one point, it was called Sony Crackle, so Sony did have a hand in it.
Yeah, I thought Sony.
And then maybe they still did, but yeah, Chicken Soup for the Soul went bankrupt in like April, and Crackle, I guess, hung on till now, but now they're officially gone.
Crackle, the producer of Book.
Yeah, that's
wild. Okay. Well, I thought no that was idea.
Funny. All right. I
liked it. They even had like money for some originals. They had a few Crackle originals on there.
Yeah, they had like Rising or a Resident Evil or something or other.
There was a Snatch like Crackle original TV show. I remember that.
Yeah, and who would have thought that would fail?
Yeah, right. we got you lesser Guy Ritchie.
TJ.
It's a tough one for me.
Do what your heart desires. You know what you want it to be.
Guy not so Ritchie.
This is gonna be
do it.
It's gonna be a 8 for me, dog.
Boo.
You know what?
Word.
Peer pressure. It's gonna be a 9 for me, dog.
Thank you.
I like this movie a lot. I can't get over, like, I don't know. Again, I just feel kind of icky with some of the plot points with it. But I think that Willa Fitzgerald's performance is incredible. I just think that some of the writing could have used a little, they could have gone through it a little bit harder. I don't know. I feel like it's a little clumsy at times. But I love the vibe. Like, I love how the
vibes are immaculate.
I mean, they are. I love the vibe. I love the, again, like, it got me right from the jump. I love the fucking grindhousiness of it, the, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre-iness of it. I love the violence when it was there, because it's not very, the violence is great, because it's like Cronenberg violence. Like, when it happens, it's, like, real bad, but, like, it's not, like, over the top.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's not over the top. It's very fast, and it's like, oh, shit. And I really love the two leads in this movie are great. Like, I thought that both of their performances were really, really, really awesome. And I just thought that, you know, again, this is a very, like, despite the fact that this is a very, like, dark film and it deals with, like, torture and shit, it's a very watchable movie. Like, this movie, the pacing is super quick. And it doesn't stick to anything very long. I thought that I thought that the chapters and the fact that it tells you how many chapters are going to be in the story, because again, you could just break it up into chapters, but not say in the beginning it's 6 chapters. You could have just gone, you know what I mean? And the fact that they tell you,
well, it's on the clock then.
Kind yeah, of. It's. I thought that's a brilliant decision, and I really like this movie a lot. Again, I'd have to do what I hate doing and watch interviews with the fucking director. Because and I don't know if it's just me, but the only reason that's holding me back giving it a 10 is some of my issues with the later parts of the movie, where I feel like it feels a little mean-spirited. It feels a little incel-y, to be perfectly honest. But again, it's also Grindhouse, so, like, that goes with the genre. You know what I mean? Like, that is what you do.
And, you know, a lot of that shit, when it's in a modern lens in a modern movie, feels odd. If this movie was made in 1979, I don't think it would bother you the same way.
No, you're right. It wouldn't. You're 100% right. And but also, like you said, I don't know if you said it on the show, but you definitely said it to me via text. But, like, they go out of their way to explain how the serial killer has agency through the entire thing.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like a weird kind of course correction at the same time. I don't know. I feel like a slightly better writing job, and I wouldn't have any of these issues at all. You know what I mean? Again, it's on me. I'm not saying it's necessarily with the movie. So again, it's a 9. It's a very good movie. It's gonna end up in my top 10 list. It's a very good movie. I'm glad that I picked it. So yeah. So who's next week?
I have
Scary Movie October.
Go ahead, Gogs. Is it Terrifier 1?
No, it is not. Oh, it's also a 2024 film, but I think we can see it.
Okay.
What is it? I think it is Dan Stevens' Cuckoo.
Say that again?
Dan Stevens.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
Oh, you've seen it already? Oh, never mind.
I saw it in the theater. I mean, we can watch it. It's already on the Plex.
Well, no, I don't want to. Never mind. I don't have anything. I'll just watch it on my own. I want to watch something we all haven't seen, preferably, but that's going to be very hard in the horror movie genre. So never mind. If anyone else has a pick.
Sean, you got a pick?
Has everybody seen Night of the Comet?
I mean, I
have not seen Night of the Comet.
I love that movie, so I wouldn't mind watching it again.
I have not
seen it. Okay.
I have a Night of the Comet t-shirt.
Yeah, so do I. You got it for me.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a great shirt.
Yeah, let's do Night of the Comet.
All right, Night of the Comet, a HBO classic from our childhood. That's a cool movie. Yeah, I'm excited to watch that. I think you guys will like this one.
Yeah.
It's not overly nihilistic and then violent and terrible. Yeah. All right, Night of the Comet. Awesome. I'll put it on the Plex because I don't know if it's on anything. It'd be funny if it's on HBO.
Arrow or whatever is it Scream Factory?
La-di-da, Mr. Frenchman.
It is Scream Factory. I got the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
the thing is Scream Factory Manhunter.
Looks like it's free on the Roku channel and free on Pluto TV.
Dogs, you'll love this movie, by the way.
I'll put it on the Plex. I'll put it on the Plex. I love that movie. All right. And we get to talk about that time I peed next to Tom Atkins.
And his big old dick.
Yeah. Yeah, he just moaned when he held it. It was very strange. His
moaning dick. All right.
All right, everybody.
All right, boys.
Okay. See ya.
Goodbye, everybody.